grace on the water. Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joseph the Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joseph the Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joseph at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Simplify your life with Simply Free Checking from SL Bank. Why pay over-the-top fees for a checking account when our Simply Free local provides sports, the best in daily money management with mobile banking, debit cards, free e-statements, and a lot more, with no minimum balance requirement and no monthly maintenance fee. And when you open a new Simply Free account, you'll receive a free gift. Visit us today at any of our four locations. SL Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Are you struggling to pay rent and utilities due to financial impacts of COVID-19? The federal hold on evictions has ended, but help is available for both renters and landlords now. So don't wait till it's too late. Apply today at lastaterent.com or call 877-459-6555. lastaterent.com, 877-459-6555. Or dial 211 for more information. Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
New Orleans Pelicans basketball is back.
Drives back into the lane. Alley-oop Zion! Oh my heavens! Oh my heavens!
What's your head?
Hi, this is Todd Graffinini. Join Daniel Salerson and me as the Pelicans open up preseason play against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Monday, October 4th at 7 p.m. You can hear it exclusively on your flagship station for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, welcome back. It is hour number three, Smoothie King Center Pelicans Media Day, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. Ty Graffinini to my right will get his thoughts, what we've heard from this morning so far. Yes, we heard some news that might have made you queasy a bit with Zion Williamson with the broken foot. May not see him during the preseason, likely won't. Hopefully expect to have him for the beginning of the season. And so we'll touch on all of that and more. Plus, of course, the Saints 28-13. But unfortunately, they didn't. They wanted to get in, Todd, on the, well, thanks for that news as well on the day, as Teron Armstead per Ian Rappaport out several weeks, 3-6, an elbow injury left early in that game. The hits continue to keep coming, but Todd, that team is 2-1. You followed them in training camp. It was already going to be a difficult sort of process of getting everybody to get together. It's actually quite remarkable. This team landed there last night in MSY, finally, and have a shot to go 3-1. I know you got to play the game on Sunday, but it's a very bad Giants team. And more importantly, I don't think you can underestimate enough the excitement of being coming back. I'm going to play the open here in a sec of the Mario Davis' speech, and you'll hear the end. But go ahead, Todd.
Well, first of all, Gus, good to see you.
How are you?
I am great.
We're back at the arena, by the way.
Look, man, yeah. It's been a really good day. I know the news that came down at what time was it, about 10 o'clock?
Yes.
Kind of blindsided people, myself included. But, you know, Gus, just watching Zion walk around today, I mean, obviously yeah. Something happened.
Can
but
I play sideline reporter
sure.
here? I didn't see a walking
no.
boot. There was no wheelchair.
Right.
He was hopping around, kind of landing on somebody's
Dr. Kattengill, I presume?
Well, no, my point, though, is if you're hurting.
Correct.
And he's
not on crutches. He's not in a boot. He's
correct.
Yes.
I thought it was key, too, to hear David Griffin mention. And, again, I know he's trying to maybe calm some fears. But he mentioned Kevin Durant's broken his foot same way four times, Kevin Durant. So, and he said it just happens with the way the movement on. Actually, if you do, which I did, type in fifth metatarsal injury,
right.
The very first sentence is it's a very common injury with athletes and pressure on foot. It's the pinky bone. It's the long pinky bone around the outside of your foot.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's right. It stinks, though.
No, it does, because he's trending in the NBA.
And again, for all the wrong reasons. But look, listening to him today, had a chance to see him, you know, as he did the radio liners in our separate little day. It's just, he's really upbeat. His attitude has never changed.
I was going to say, not only that, though, there's a different sense, though. When he answered the question for Fletcher about does he want to be here or not. And again, having now been, this will be his third NBA season. And I guess you sort of do take a little bit of that ownership and want to do that. But listen to how he answers this. And I think one of the things that stood out to me was how he answered that, you know, more than anything else. So when you look at that aspect of it, I don't know. I don't know if I'm making anything out of this or not, but here.
Sorry, can you repeat your name?
Fletcher. Fletcher.
Fletcher?
Yep.
Fletcher, that might be the best question of the day. I'm glad you asked that. I feel like nobody's ever asked me that, so I'm glad you asked. How I feel about the organization? Per me. I love it here. I love the city of New Orleans. Don't want to be anywhere else. My relationship with Griff, I don't think he can play the piano. Last time I checked. It's all love with me and Griff. It ain't much to dive into. It's just love between us. We're both competitors. We both want to win. Do we disagree on some things? Who agrees on everything? We don't. But I think that's what makes our relationship great. We both bring the best out of each other, and we're just going to keep building off that.
Todd, I hadn't heard him speak like that. And you know what I'm talking about, when you don't maybe have that confidence or feel like you can have that sort of voice, you kind of talk a little low sometimes like this, or it's very short.
Go listen to interviews in his rookie year.
Yeah, I was going to say, his demeanor of, I'm glad you asked me that, or I felt like he was holding more court today. And also Brandon Ingram. I don't know if you've had a chance to kind of be around him today.
I have.
He stood out to me.
And if you listen to Griff in the initial press conference, I think it's pretty evident that what you've been talking about and what we've been talking about, it's 3 years in. This is Brandon Ingram's team. This is Zion Williamson's team. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Right.
Brandon is... He's not a very outspoken guy. He's going to lead by example. But I think this year you might start to see a little more speaking loudly, which, again, is completely against Brandon Ingram's nature. But
no.
I think now he's been in the league a long time. I mean, you think about it. He's been in the league 6 years now, and this is his third year with the organization. This is when you really start to hit your prime. Mm-hmm. As a professional, and I think Ingram now, I know you've seen him walk, he's definitely put on some weight.
Yep.
Muscle. Mm-hmm. Not fat. Muscle.
Jackson Hayes as well.
He has been working at it. I think Nikhil's put on a little weight. I think Kyrell Lewis has put on a little weight. Muscle weight.
By the way.
So these guys have definitely been working in the offseason. I know for a fact that they've been getting after it up in Nashville. I mean, getting after it. And, this is going to be an unbelievable camp to watch, Gus. I've already printed out my first play-by-play
you
sheet.
You have it. You do. Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
With the new guys. And the first 10, me and Daniel have a kind of – it's like a running thing. If you're on the front page
right.
of the play-by-play because
sure.
you have to flip it.
Yeah.
But if you're on the front page, you're going to play, and you're going to play a lot.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you look, though, at the second page, there are a lot of guys that could very easily be on the front page.
Right.
Meaning, if you're going to play a 10 or 11-man rotation,
right.
there are going to be guys that could definitely play many minutes that are not going to play at all. And that's why this is going to be a very, very intense competitive camp, because there's a lot of players where not a whole lot of spots to play, if that makes any sense.
It does. And you know this. No one likes to do this
More than me, baby. What am I doing right now?
Patting yourself on the back.
Patting myself on the back. Do you know what David Griffin said when he first sat down here? He spoke for 30 minutes, by the way.
I know. I noticed.
You know what he talked about? How competitive Nashville was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying they listened to the show, but maybe. Remember what I said that Willie Green needs to go in there and the summer league team needs to – you need to knock them off the court? David Griffin literally said that for the first couple of days of Nashville in that opening week, that the summer league team was that, and that Willie Green challenged the other guys to take their spot. And he challenged the summer league guys and said, make them come after you every day. So he essentially did that, but you can't blame him because, well, what you saw on the court was what you wanted to see. And it was interesting. I just had Trajan Langdon, the general manager, on, and I brought up Herbert Jones, who, by the way, B.I. brought up. And Trajan kind of chuckled, and I'm like, what? And he's like, he was getting after B.I. at in Nashville. And he said, this guy can defend Herbert Jones.
I think the quote, what I heard, and I did a season ticket corporate sponsor event last week with Willie Green and David Griffin. And I think Willie Green used the expression that was now going around in Nashville, not on Herb. Meaning, you ain't going to score on Herb.
Right.
So, look, this is a rookie. This is a second-round draft pick. Yeah. This isn't like, you know, he's a five-year vet. This is a guy who's straight out of Alabama.
Not on Herb. Huh?
Not on Herb.
Okay.
So, but again,
okay.
Who's going to take his spot, or who is Herbert Jones going to take minutes from? I'm going to be thoroughly intrigued. It was almost like going back at the beginning of Saints training camp when we didn't know what to expect from that first practice. And it's the same thing. And I'm really, really looking forward to tomorrow at 11 o'clock when they tee it up, in the facility. And, we're going to see guys getting after it.
Okay.
And that's what it's all about.
I want texts. I want to know. I want to know.
I don't know, Gus. If I told you, I might have to kill you.
Look, let me tell you this. I'll say this because I did ask David Griffin off the air and on the air. I said, does my love for TM3, Trey Murphy, the third, kind of founder? He goes, oh, yeah. And he says, that's one of the guys I have to calm myself down on. Look, one of the things that I noticed is my first time seeing him again in person for you, Todd.
No, he walked by me. I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious.
He's got some length.
He's got length.
Him.
And first thing I noticed.
First thing. So now I can
I agree.
See, and I was like, you could sort of see that. The other aspect of it, too, and again, this is why you brought it up so much. This is why I brought it up so much. With last season, with COVID and everything, the inability to be around guys and see it already, I can tell you this. What listeners don't see right now, apparently everybody got a little a disposable camera. And they have players just walking around taking pictures of
Garrett
other
Temple
players
took my picture, I have to say.
Doing it, right? So, but it's things like that that you can kind of see. I can see why there's that togetherness that they were talking about. You can sort of see there's a, and Todd, we've been around teams enough to where we're not trying to make something more than there isn't. You know when a team gets along, and you know when there's a player or two in that room where, man, that they just don't like that guy. And especially, and I'm bringing this up because we've heard reports of ghosting. We've heard, I don't want to be here. I didn't get that vibe at all today from the two biggest names on this roster, much less everybody else around it. I didn't. Now, I'm not saying that he would have walked in here and slammed the door and not spoken. But you know, Ty, because I did see it. I saw it with AD. I saw it when, you know, other players decided to go. It's a different body language.
No, I agree 100%. And that's been another great part about today for me personally and for Daniel, who's around, you know, we have not been around these guys literally in 18 months. We called the games last year from our radio. Well, even the home games, we weren't allowed to go on the floor. Right. We were not allowed to interact with anybody. So today, you know, I've been dapping up all these guys that I haven't seen in 18 months. And, you know, just to see Nikhil again and Jackson and B. I mean, it's just been awesome to physically make contact with, you know, it's just something you can't take for granted as someone, you know, in my profession who's been around teams their entire life. And that's part of the deal, man. And just to be able again to just be around them, interact, travel with them again. They know that you're going to be there at practice tomorrow.
Right.
You know, just little things that you don't think about. And I agree 100%. These guys, I've never seen any of that in the time that I've been with this organization. And I'm starting my third year now.
Right.
No, there's no big timing or anything. No, they're a good group of guys. Again, they're very young still. Yeah. You got to think about it.
I thought it was interesting.
But they're young veterans. They're now starting to have established themselves in the league. And it's time to take that next step.
An unexpected.
And there's a Herb, by the way. That's
not on Herb.
That's not on Herb right
I'm
there.
I'm going to try to get him on here. One of the things that I thought was interesting was I've heard two names in particular when it comes to leadership in the locker room. And it's Valanciunas,
mm-hmm.
brought up by B.I.
Okay.
And the other is Garrett Temple that I've heard. So it's very interesting that those two guys, that the names have come up by players.
Valanciunas now, it'll be his ninth year in the league. Garrett Temple will start his 11th year in the league. So you got two big-time veterans who've been, you know, Garrett Temple's been all over the place, but he's been in winning organizations. Valanciunas, of course, has been with the Grizzlies all this time, but he has been a stalwart for that organization. And he has been a very, very productive player. Mm-hmm. You know, Temple is going to have his role. You know, you don't even know how much playing time he's going to get. But what he's going to do in the locker room is going to be invaluable. Plus, he's a local kid. You know, local kid. He's not a kid.
Right.
But he's a local guy. So he's basically coming home. I mean, he grew up in Baton Rouge, went to LSU. So he's loving this. Look, I think you got a perfect mixture of veterans, young, raw. I just think it's primed to really take a step. Now you just got to do it on the court.
They know. Yeah.
Okay. It's been two very, very disappointing years.
Well,
now they haven't been normal years,
right.
But they've been disappointing. And anybody and a man in that locker room who's been here would tell you the same thing.
I got to get to a break. We're obviously going to talk a lot more about this team as we get closer and closer to a week from tonight is the preseason opener at Minnesota. But Todd, as we go to break, I want you to hear what Brandon Ingram said. He said about a month or two. He said about him, because I asked him, and he thought about it. He didn't give me like a canned answer. I asked him, is this roster better than last year? He says, I can't tell you yet. He says, I think in about a month or two of playing together with everybody, he's like, I think we'll be able to see that. But he feels that they have talent on this roster. But
no question, there's talent.
That's part of kind of what we've seen different. I hadn't heard him. You know, he thought about it. And so we'll see. And look, let's be honest. Around December is kind of when you want to start to see this team kind of mesh and get together. So.
Yeah. No, I'm just ready to get going tomorrow. Get back in the practice facility.
Right.
Look at these guys on the floor. I haven't been able to do it.
You know what?
In over a year and a half.
Unfortunately, out of time. If not, I'd ask you about what an incredible effort by the kicker of Atlanta Falcons bringing home that win. The kicker, baby.
They brought jerseys in for him the other time. Giants.
Kicker. That's a bad football team. Ty Graffanini at NT Graffs. The way to follow on Twitter. We're your home for Pelicans basketball. ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are Homa Strong.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start, and we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from eTel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back, and we're here to make your business surge. eTel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Rouse's Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets feels like home.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. As we continue to talk to Pels players and coaches, that was Todd Graffinini, voice of New Orleans Pelicans, about Pelicans Media Day and the season starting, preseason starting a week from today. Going to get into some of the news with the Saints here as well. In case you missed it, though, one of the things that we did see, and that was, of course, Zion's foot injuries, what he had to say about the fact that he broke his foot, a bone in his foot, and will miss the preseason more than likely. And the hope, per David Griffin, is that he will be available to start the regular season. Here's Zion from earlier this morning.
Initially, when it first happened, it sucked. But it's a part of the game. I think I was overdoing it when I was training because I felt like I had this huge chip on my shoulder, this huge boulder that I was just getting after it overly every day, and it just happened. But the process through healing has been great. Been working with the team, trainer every day, so it's been good.
So he had a shot to hopefully be ready for the regular season, and he, so I played it with Todd Graffinini, answered a question about, you know, being able to or how his feelings are around here as well. So we'll touch on all of that and more. We've got plenty more to get into. Also want to get your thoughts, though, on the Saints beating the Patriots 28-13. Jameis Winston, 128 yards in the ball game, and again, it's being talked about. The touchdown to Marquez Callaway, falling backwards. Jameis.
That was all God. I felt zero, so I checked it. And that was all God. Like, I was trying to throw that ball away. Marquez went up there and snatched it. So, touchdown, good guys.
What was the message to you after that throw? Like, don't do it again, but good throw? Or
if you're throwing away, make sure you throw it away. I said, and I told him, I said, God. I said, Coach, that's all God. Can't get in the way of God's plan.
There you go. It worked that time, right? No doubt about it. But one of the things that's interesting that's being talked about this week, and we will continue as we keep moving along here in the conversation and process, we will discuss the defense and its importance, and really, is it the identity sort of changing a little bit, right? This has been an offensive-laden team, an offensive-led team for, you know, the entire time that Sean Payton's been here. So, well, since that is the case, is defense now, though, kind of the way that we need to start thinking about this basketball team, or this football team moving forward?
Saints football has always been efficiency and physicality up front. I mean, that's them the only Saints that I knew. That's all I know about the Saints. They went up front, and they play tough, and that's what we did here. I think the best thing is it's so challenging to win in this league. So any way that you do it, you do it to the best of your abilities. Obviously, I know I got to get better at the quarterback position, and I'm going to continue to do that. But I'm happy that we got this win.
So no doubt. Obviously, you get the win, and bottom line, Alvin Kamara sort of led the way, and we'll touch on Alvin here and his thoughts of being able to be used the way he did. 27 touches yesterday in the game and was able to really lead the way and do that. And he said, look, they set the tone early with the run, and he was completely fine with it. And we'll hear from that in a quick second. But Herb just sat down with this Pelicans draft pick, Herbert Jones. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. So I figure while you're here, let's just chat a little hoops, man. Since you're going back and forth. First media day in the league. What's it like?
It's been fun. It's almost like college. You know, you're going around to different stations doing different things, but it's been fun.
I got to get to it because I heard about it. What's this phrase here? Not on Herb. you're chuckling. What does it mean now? What does it mean?
I was just getting stops, and I feel like I was doing what I've been doing on the defensive end. Uh-huh. It was nothing new to me, but I think a lot of people was kind of surprised at how I kind of transitioned from college to the NBA with my defensive abilities.
Brandon Ingram brought it up, and then Trajan Langdon chuckled when I brought that up here as well. Has there been some fun competitiveness in games when you guys are going at it?
Always. I mean, it's always fun to compete. And any chance I get to compete, I will. So, yeah, of course, it's been fun going up against, you know, Brandon Ingram and,
right,
and the rest of the team, you know. Like I said, competing has been fun to me, and it will always be fun to me.
Competitiveness and that sort of competitive nature we saw in Vegas in a short amount of time. What was it, like 10 days or something like that? Mm-hmm. You guys were together with head coach Willie Green. And obviously, you know, some players and some stuff from – playing in the SEC and all that, but really the fact that you all played that together in such a short amount of time, is that normal? Or why did you think that you guys were able to play together as a unit so quickly?
I think everybody wanted to win, and if you get a group of guys that want to win, I think it's easy to play as a team because everybody has the same goal in mind. And that's what we did. We went out and just tried to play as together and as connected as anyone right. did at Summer League.
We always hear that phrase a ton, and I know us in the media we'll bring it up, our fans, we'll bring it up, our players. You want to win. Of course you want to win. Who doesn't want to win? But what does it mean to you? Like, what is that definition when you hear that phrase, players want to win? Or how would you use that phrase to describe someone by what they do to be like, that guy wants to win? What is that guy doing?
Doing whatever it takes to get the win. Not caring about the stats, not caring about who gets the interviews after the game. Just doing whatever the coach and the team needs you to do to be able to win the game.
When you look at really what the Tide did last year as well, being one of the top teams in the country and offensively, defensively, doing those things, how do you think that season prepared you to then transition to go into the summer and now?
I feel like it helped me out tremendously. Going into the season, I had no idea that coach would need me to play point guard for stretches
right.
of the season. And it just goes back to what I was saying about just wanting to win. I went to work, did whatever they needed me to do. I had to adjust my skill set to be able to play point guard. And it has definitely helped me transition here, doing whatever they needed me to do, guarding the best players, setting screens, playing the five at times, guarding their five men, other teams' five men. It definitely helped.
Do you think that are you carving out perhaps a little niche? And I know it's early, but to where maybe the staff is earning a little bit of trust or going, hey, we're going to put you on no matter the position, somebody that's hot, somebody that's scoring, a player that we need a stop from. Is that something that you kind of don't mind taking a little ownership on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been me my whole life.
Right.
I always try to seek new challenges, and I try to do the things that everybody don't want to do. And I feel like that's a lot of the things on the defensive end.
Speaking with Pelicans rookie Herbert Jones, you hear fans say it all the time. Play defense. Get out there and do it. But we don't see it a lot of times in that aspect of it. Brandon said it's effort, it's energy. What are some other traits to people that play defense? Like, how would you describe why it is that you can play defense?
I just feel like it's a mindset going into the game. You respect the guy that you're going up against, but
right.
he still puts on his shoes the same way you do. He got to lace up his shoes. He got to come out and play the same game you're playing in. And it's going to be tough regardless of who it is. He's got to be at his best that night.
Two final questions for you. I'm going to ask you about your goals. What do you want to accomplish this season? Before that, though, describe Nashville. I've been asking everybody about that. What do you think this team did in those 2 weeks there?
I feel like we got better, became more connected, built chemistry, and competed, learned how to compete, play with different guys on the team, figure out what guys do well, what guys don't do well. Yeah, I mean, Nashville was super fun.
I see all these people with little cameras taking photos and stuff. Who do you think probably took the best pictures today?
The best pictures today?
Yeah. Like, whose personality you think they were probably taking certain kinds of pictures? Or just the ones that you want to go see his camera roll?
Trey Murphy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He is one of a kind. He has a huge personality. So, yeah, I know his camera roll is.
All right, so that's the one we're going to go see develop first.
Yep.
All right, cool. What's your goals, man? Final question for you.
I mean, of course, I want the team to make the playoffs, make a deep run in the playoffs. But, I mean, personally, I just want to figure out how to stick in the league, figure out ways to contribute to winning and be around for a long time.
Pelicans rookie Herbert Jones, thanks for a little bit of your time today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to it. 1 week from the day, guys are going to suit it up and tip it off, taking on Minnesota. So good luck to you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it so much. Quick break. Bottom of the hour. We come back. We'll open up the phone lines. 800-998-1003 is the way to do it. You can also tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA, where you're home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
John Means throwing a no-no for the O's.
These last 2 years, I just can't even describe it.
Packers, great. Leroy Butler.
I would think if you look at Aaron Rodgers, bank account, you know they treat him well.
Tim Hardaway Jr., anytime he shoots the basketball stream, he always Dallas usually wins.
It's time to buckle up and get ready for the whole season.
Joe Douglas, Jets general manager.
Everybody came to the same conclusion about how they felt about Zach and what he could do for this team.
Coach from Washington football team, Ron Rivera.
We like who we have at quarterback. We're very comfortable with that situation.
Jamin Davis drafted number 19 overall by the Washington football team.
It's a blessing to be here today, man. It's just honestly, I'm still soaking everything all in.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 49ers quarterback.
You know, try to help Trey out. Whatever I can do to help him, I'll be more than happy.
Rob Gronkowski, who is the perfect choice to be the Secretary of Summer.
Being the Secretary of Summer is maybe one of my biggest accomplishments out there, actually.
The biggest names in sports are here, and it all starts weekday mornings with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day. This is ESPN Radio.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of heart disease. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back to the Smoothie King Center. Pelicans Media Day. We'll continue to talk with some Pels players and coaches here as well. Marlon also standing by on hold. But first, I want to bring in Mr. Troy York. He works with FEMA. He's got an important announcement to pass along with a lot of folks here. Troy, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon. I'm fine. Just listening a little bit to your program, and I appreciate you making time for me this afternoon to bring this information to your listeners, especially those in St. John's Parish. I'm out here right now at a temporary disaster recovery center that's just open. Located at 2979 LA-18 in Edgard. That's the St. John's Baptist Parish Library parking lot.
Okay.
They're getting quite a good attendance here. Also, because I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you're already formatted, but the second location that is open now is in Garyville, the Garyville Library parking lot, and that's at 1111 One historic Front Street in Garyville. Both locations are open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. So encourage everybody that hasn't registered to come on down and register. And those of you who have registered and have questions and like to sit across from somebody and see where you're at in your progress, welcome you to come down also.
Troy, anything else you'd like to pass along? Because obviously, what is it when you go to these places here to sign up or fill up or just get information? There's a lot of different types of info, I guess, that you would want to know, right? Or how can FEMA sort of help? What are things that either you can or can't qualify for? Because I know a lot of times people have done it either online or calling in for phone numbers. Is that what these places are where you can sort of do that? Because not everybody has, Troy, as you would know, probably power, internet, things of that nature to get in.
Yeah, that's right. If you were able to get on with FEMA on the internet or on the 800 number, then and you have some questions regarding various of the programs or where you are in the review of your applications, come on down to the temporary recovery center and they'll be able to help you. If you haven't registered and you're coming for the first time, bring everything you can that you were able to recover. Or, for example, receipts, insurance policies,
right.
Maybe utility bills that have come to you in your name that can help verify the fact that you are a resident or a renter, because FEMA has programs to assist both in their recovery efforts.
Troy, it's got to be, I guess, overwhelming a lot of times when you get all these different questions and responses, obviously, to go to it. And I know, obviously, look, disasters is kind of part of what you do or the organization is as well. But has it sort of kind of hit you, too, how really just 20, 30 miles east or west is a little different than really where that I came ashore?
Yeah, that's true. And I'm working in these parishes where Ida came right straight up through the middle of Lafroche and Terrebonne and the St. John, St. Charles parishes. So there's a lot, everywhere I go, there's just, you know, devastation and blue roots just everywhere.
Troy, before we let you go, sir, if you can, I jot it down as quickly as I can. Was it 2979 LA-18 over in Edgard in St. John Parish? That's one site?
That's correct. 2979 LA-18 Edgard. That's at the St. John Baptist Parish Library. And in Garyville, it's at 111 Historic Front Street, which okay. is the Garyville Library parking lot. And again, they're open 7 days a week, 9 a.m. till 6 p.m.
There you go. That's what I was going to ask you next. 9 a.m. to 6 p.m, 7 days a week. And it's a way to go get info and stuff. Thank you, Troy. Appreciate your time, sir.
I thank you for letting me on.
No, for sure. You got any kind of any info or anything else that you want to pass on? You got the number. Give us a buzz. We'll put you on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you so much. Marlon Fave right now joins us to talk a little football. Are you okay today? Are you ready to go? The Cowboys, Eagles, Monday Night Football. You ready?
Well, of course. You know, that's why it's primetime football. It's Monday Night Football. The Cowboys, 3.5-point favorite. Hello, somebody. We them boys.
It's all the time we have for Marlon Fave, right? You know, really, I'm like looking at anybody. I'm like, there's a basketball to the right of me. We'll have an interview with that, like Wilson from the movie. No, I'm kidding. Look, I get it, dude. It's, you know, it's a game night for you. But, look, I got to get your impressions, though, on the Saints, and then we'll get to your Tigers that got that victory over there in Starkville and take on the Auburn Tigers this weekend. But, Marlon, for the Saints, how impressive is it that you know they're trying to stop Alvin Kamara? He gets 27 touches, 24 carries for 89 yards. It's a mindset of learning and understanding. He ain't going to get 10 yards a carry. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, but you're going to get a steady dose of 41. Does it take a toll on a D-line?
Yeah, I think with the way they did it, and it was a combination of Jones, Kamara, and then later on in the game, Taysom Hill. At times, the Saints had overload with offensive linemen, overload with dominate that defensive line. When you're constantly running inside the tackles and combination blocks up to the next level, it does well on a defense, especially a defense that don't have every rotation. I saw Devon Godchild, LSU, great, handle his business out there. And, of course, Judah, I think I said his name right. They drafted him either this year or last year, defensive end off the edge. He had 2 sacks on him. So they were able to do some things, but overall, I think just the communication skills with the Saints' offensive line was much better this week. And you could tell that they took the loss last week to heart and came out a lot more aggressive.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara mentioned that after the game, Marlon, that they had to take ownership for themselves, and he actually thought that maybe they didn't show up to play. Maybe took the Panthers a little lightly, or you know what, sometimes you can say you don't want to eat the cheese and things of that nature, but when you have that kind of performance in game against Green Bay, I guess it's a natural thing, but they definitely showed up and played this time. That said, look, 2 wins, you'll take them, however you get them. Taysom Hill says he doesn't care that this team hasn't passed for 150 yards. But in the NFL, in college, Marlon, that's probably not what you want. What do you see when you look at the Saints offense as to why maybe it's not, you know, you don't have at least 200 yards passing?
I look at the Saints offense as being calculated. I can tell that Coach Sean Payton is just warming Jameson up, giving him an opportunity to develop a rhythm with his receivers. You saw he hit Harris a couple of times, Callaway on the touchdown. Just getting the ball out and putting the ball in different receivers' hands has really been good for him. You get Kenny Stills back this week. Kenny Stills have 2 big plays.
Right.
So I'm not really right now out of the Saints. I'm not really looking for big arm Jameis to have a 350-yard passing game. We know he can do that. We've seen him do that 2 seasons ago, and the ongoing joke is, well, he threw 30 interceptions. Like, everybody just negate the fact that the man didn't have eye surgery, and now he has LASIK surgery, and clearly he can see much better throwing darts. So we know the talent is there, but I think Coach Sean Payton's saying, let's be smart. Let's control the ground game. Let's control the clock. Let's be able to give Jameis enough rhythm to get and hit all his receivers, and it's working. I mean, yes, it was 128 yards passing, but at the end of the day, we're handling business in other areas, particularly on defense, to kind of offset where we don't have a lot of big passing yards.
Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504 is the way to follow over on Twitter. And as always, you can check him out on the podcast Inside the Trenches. Sir, let's move on to the Tigers. You're part of the Yellow Sea Sports Radio Network on game days. Look, finding a way to win, getting that job done offensively to an extent. Defense maybe kind of lulled a little bit, a sense of sleep there towards the end. But look, at the end of the day, it's an SEC win. It's a win. What were some of the things you liked? What were some of the things they need to work on if they want to win against Auburn this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's Max Johnson, 17 on 27 attempts. 4 touchdowns, he threw 1 interception, but you have a passing rate of 85. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation where the offensive line is still trying to pull it all together, you could tell that we're trying to get in SEC shape. And it's not that guys are gassed or anything like that.
Right.
Moffitt does a good job at that. It's really the blocking schemes. And it's cool, Gus, to now I'm so used to having Brandon Taylor and Jacob Hester and their perspectives from the skill position. But it's cool to do the postgame and pregame with Gary Brumfield, a more recent LSU offensive tackle that could relate. These are his teammates. So to hear his perspective after the game really gives me a lot more insight on the offensive line. And that's really just developing a little more technique, better technique. Not necessarily with just the hands, but also the steps, the footwork. You saw a couple of times on the zone block, Shanahan kind of got knocked back. The new line of scrimmage is created a lot. So you look at Corey Kiner and him bouncing out and trying to spin and find some action, but sideline to sideline and linebacker pattern. So I think as the offensive line starts to gel a little more with Coach Brad, who's a new coach there on that offensive line, I think we'll get a little more aggressive. But, hey, a win is a win. It's a team that we owe them one from last year. So
right.
I see this revenge tour is going, and hopefully we can continue to keep that momentum going into the game this week against Auburn.
The Auburn Tigers, 22nd ranked in the country. Friday, I'll ask you more specifically about matchups. Today, I just want to bring up, I guess, or ask you about the past and those matchups that you had against Auburn. You know, this series between these two teams, it always seems you had a stretch where there were named games. Something would happen where, you know, you would name the game a certain way, you know. And when you take a look at all of that, anything stand out to you in all of those years that you took on the Auburn Tigers?
The physicality up front on the line is what stood out to me. I can remember my coach coming to me, Gus, and telling me, "Faith, this week we want you to be about 5 pounds heavy." Right, so I would actually change my diet on that particular week.
No kidding,
no lie, just to really help beef up the interior line at the time. Because I could go back to my freshman year when I didn't get any burn. You had Cadillac Williams, you had Ronnie Brown, who later on became my teammate with the Eagles, and you had guys like Lester, little slick running backs that could really hit the hole and make some big plays. Kenny Irons. Like another one of my Philly teammates, King Dunlap, tall, lanky, you know, has that big Caden Jones from De La Salle type frame, but he also played aggressive. He played like a big, short, stocky offensive lineman. And I can just remember, you know, me and Glenn Dorsey having reporting weights, like guys come back 308, and my coach specifically asked me to get up to like 312, 314 for some of those winter games or when we got into the thick part of the SEC play.
Marlon, we got plenty to get into, obviously, the rest of the week. On Friday, we'll touch on LSU, Auburn, Saints, Giants here as well. Tonight, though, your Cowboys and Eagles. Give me a score. What do you got? They're favored by 3.5.
3.5? Okay, I got a score for you. I do think with the absence of Brandon Graham, they won't be able to be as effective in the pass rushing game. So I think we'll run up the bag on that. So I'll say Cowboys, let's say 35.
Wow.
And let's go Philly, 24. We them boys.
All right, that's all the time we have, buddy. Look at that clock. We're definitely well over the segment from Arlen Favorite at Big Fave 504. Is the way to follow over on Twitter, Inside the Trenches, the podcast. Always a pleasure, sir. Take care, buddy.
Take care for us, New Orleans. Go Cowboys.
There he goes. Quick break. We come back. Final segment. Top of the hour. Matt Moscone after further review. He'll have much, much more on LSU's win in Starkville. Tomorrow we'll break down and talk a lot more, obviously, about the Saints' win. The terrible news injury for me in Rappaport. In case you missed it, I'll tell you. It's about Teron Armstead next on ESPN New Orleans.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
It is estimated that over 1 million visits are made to emergency rooms each year for suspected concussion from youth sports. A concussion is a brain injury that occurs from a bump or a blow to the head.
If your child experiences a blow or bump to the head during sporting activity, look for the following observable signs. Appears dazed, seems confused, moves clumsily, slowed speech, loss of consciousness, personality change, or inability to recall events prior to or after the hit. Other symptoms experienced by the athlete may include headache, nausea, dizziness, blurred vision, sensitivity to light and noise, sluggish feeling, difficulty concentrating or remembering, confused, or feels out of sorts.
It is important to remember that a concussion is not always associated with a loss of consciousness.
Balance is a reflection of brain functionality. Experts assess an athlete's balance, including postural control and sway velocity. In addition to balance, memory skills, learning, and concentration are also assessed. Baseline testing, often used in professional and collegiate athletics, provides a preseason evaluation of an athlete's abilities. In the event of a concussion, results of a baseline test can be compared to the post-injury testing.
The Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional understands the importance of safety in athletics.
We utilize advanced concussion testing technology called the Neurocom Balance Assessment System. Neurocom provides medical experts the information needed for a more objective, accurate, conclusive, and quicker diagnosis of concussion for an athlete's safe return to competition. Testing is conducted at the Outpatient Rehabilitation Center within the Wellness Center of Thibodaux Regional. The baseline testing procedure is the same for all sports. One baseline test per year is recommended. Baseline testing is recommended for athletes of all ages who participate in contact sports. Baseline testing should occur preseason before practices begin. Cost for baseline testing is minimal. Concussion baseline testing is painless, non-invasive, and lasts approximately 10 minutes.
If you are interested in setting up a baseline concussion testing appointment or have questions about concussions, please call the Sports Medicine Center at 985-493-4502, 985-493-4502, or www.thibodaux.com, www.thibodaux.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit thibodaux.com.
Likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Daniel Salerson, Pelicans Radio Network, sir. How are you?
I'm great. We're wrapping up here. Just have one player to go in our station, but things have gone really well. Excited to be back in person.
I gave you some station liners. How is the final line on that page coming along? You're listening to the greatest sports talk show of all time in humanity, hosted by the Sports Hangovers.
Well, I didn't want them to lie in the first day, basically, of school, so I didn't have them read that part of it. But the rest of them, you got some great liners from everyone. Everyone's in the energy level.
I was
great.
Going to say that. The things that stood out, again, we're just getting started, right? Like, starting next week, I even had, you know, the voice guy record, now with Daniel Salerson, and all that other stuff. Because we're going to get into it, and we can talk a lot more about matchups and where they want to key. Today's more about, look, laying eyes on a team for the first time that you haven't, as Todd said, in 18 months. And more importantly, it's why it's so important to have that, because you can get a vibe and a feel. First thing I did when I got on the show was, yes, you heard Zion broke his foot. B, I'm seeing him hop around right now, not on crutches. I'm saying playing around, like he was jumping on a player's back or something like that. If you're hurting, and look, I didn't see a brace on it. Now, I know it's for pictures. But if I'm suffering from a broken something, there's certain things I'm looking at. I didn't see a cast. I didn't see – so – I think they're going to be precautious in the preseason, and I think you're going to see him Wednesday against the 76ers. Griff is hopeful.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I mean, and that's the thing. Luckily, you know, you don't want him to break his foot, but it happened before summer league, which was in August. So you do have a timetable where it allows him to use his time to rest, and he'll be in the gym every day. And Willie Green said it, he'll be at training camp, all the practices. So, of course, you want to see him out here, and it seems like every year there's always one injury we're talking about before training camp starts, but. At the same time, if he's ready for the regular season, that's really all that matters. Well, everyone will get their work in. They'll give the players an extra chance to show them what they're worth. But I'm excited. I know that was a tough way to kind of start things, but I think after that,
good morning, everybody.
Yeah,
Zion's broken his foot.
Yeah, but other than that, start today, I think it's been pretty good.
You and I have talked about this too, and it's something we're going to see transcend or as the season progresses, rather. It's Zion and B.I.'s maturity or things of that nature. And again, you and I, we're trained to listen to inflection and what people say and how they say it, tone, comfortableness. They're looking at you stuff. Zion's answer on Fletcher's question today, you know, asking him his name. I'm glad you asked me that. He seems more comfortable this year.
Yeah.
Just the way he came across. Brandon Ingram, I could have talked to him for another 15 minutes, and I probably would say 2-3 years ago, I was lucky to get 5 to 7 seconds out of him. Always looking at you. Audible, just, you get what I'm getting at, when you're shy and you're uncomfortable, you tend to sort of speak a certain way. Those two guys really stood out to me.
Yeah, and they're 21 and 22 years old, too. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. When you're starting this league, with Brandon having some experience with the Lakers and Zion just turning 21 years old, I mean, the maturity level is going to factor in there with some of these things, whether how long they're going to speak or how they approach questions or how they approach media day. This is year three now for Zion and media day. And, of course, last year was different with COVID, but I think that's what you're going to see, the growth and development. That's going to be the key, is how these guys are going to deal with adversity. Are those going to be the guys in the locker room saying, hey, we got to step up, or is it going to be other guys? You still have veterans like Garrett Temple that's going to do some of that as well. So I think it's going to be interesting to see who kind of takes over as the leader on and off the court for this team, and hoping that Zion and B.I. are a part of that.
I think the two things I learned today that was interesting was apparently Nashville was good, as Andrew Lopez. We got about a minute and a half. Impeccable timing. I waited for you all afternoon, and
that's
decided
perfect
to show
for Andrew.
Oh, no.
He's got someone.
Yeah, good job.
I can't join the radio show now.
Wrap up media day in 1 minute for us. Go.
Yeah. Foot surgery, Nashville good, Brandon good. Nikhil make a jump.
There's one more.
What did I forget?
Not on Herb. I heard that a
not
lot.
Not on Herb. Yeah. Not on Herb.
I didn't get to watch some of them where.
Apparently.
That's a low post exclusive for you.
Apparently,
make sure
Herb
you listen
Jones
to the low post.
Has been stopping everybody in Nashville. Tracy Langdon said that.
Herb Jones has had a really good 2 weeks, and I thought Herb was going to be. He's on a guaranteed contract. I thought Herb was going to be in the. All right, we're going to Birmingham group, but I'm not sold that he's going to spend his entire season there. I'll say that much.
Well, that's news. That's great.
There you go. You heard it here first. No, and I'll say, I think some of the other things that, again, got about 30 seconds, but we have a lot of storylines to kind of get into it here over the next, you know, week and a half before this team tips off on Wednesday, October 20th, Andrew. But again, it's something that you have to see and be a part in. At least now we can kind of get a gauge as to what people are.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, it is from our perspective. I know Daniel's perspective too. It was nice to actually see players to be here, see the camaraderie. I think one of my favorite moments was GT and Tomas Satoransky. Somebody asked Garrett Temple about being a coach, and Sato was like, "Hey man, you know when they ask you about being a coach, that means your career is almost over."
That's Andrew Lopez. We'll be chatting with him and get his thoughts and Daniel throughout the rest of the season here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Matt Moscona, you're up.